Well, I'm going to only preach a short section of that chapter tonight on the seed of the kingdom in a nutshell. But just to quickly pick up on that last bit there, we're seeing that throughout Mark's gospel, Jesus is Lord. That's what he's conveying to us time and time again, that he has authority and power over the demons, he has authority and power over people, he has authority and power over sicknesses and diseases, he even has authority and power over the elements. And Mark's explaining that to us. Now, that doesn't mean that what I should say is he has ultimate authority over all those things. He's not in immediate control right now of all those things, because if he was, then we'd have to say, well, Jesus has done this and Jesus has done that. But he's in ultimate control. He is ultimately Lord over all the earth. And again, we'd have to say, well, he's only ultimately over all people, because he's not in immediate control of everybody's life at this present moment. There are many people who are living lives under their own will and power, and that's not the way he wants it. But he is ultimately Lord over all and over everything. And it's interesting, because we would look at the people of the world and say, well, clearly, without looking at Scripture, Jesus wants everybody to hear the good news about him. He says, well, not everyone's going to receive it, that is for sure. And he says, and I'm not about to waste my good news on people who have no interest in it, which is interesting, isn't it? He taught in parables partly so that those who had no interest in him would never understand. Now, that's not the Jesus that you and I are used to hearing about. But he also said, when we go and preach in places and share the good news too, if those people have no interest, if they outright reject it, what are we to do? We're to shake the dust off our feet, yeah. In other words, it means just walk away. And we're to pray for them, for sure. I'm not saying don't pray. We were praying for people just now. Keep praying for people. But ultimately, they have the decision-making power. God has given everybody free will. And if people, including any of us, were to reject Christ, then, well, we'll see in a moment what the consummation, what the end of that decision would be. But let's have a quick look tonight at these seeds. We'll look firstly at the mysterious seed, and then we'll look at the miraculous seed. And I had two seeds that I bought ready to share with you tonight as an illustration. And sadly, I used some of the seed in our bird feeders. That's not the sad thing. I intended to give it to the birds. That's okay. There were sunflower seeds that had been de-husked or whatever. But the sad thing was, this afternoon, as we were there looking out the window, Esther and I, two jolly rats turned up and started to eat the bird seed from the bird feeder. And so I went to and fro about the house looking for my BB rifle and pellets, and I found the rifle, and the rats were happy because I couldn't find the jolly pellets. And so they lived to fight another day. But doing that made me miss or not pay attention to the clock. So I dashed out after hunting high and low for those pellets and not finding them, headed up here and left those sunflower seeds at home. But you know what a sunflower seed looks like. And here's the mystery to a sunflower seed or any other seed. And this is what Jesus talks about in the parable. The fact that that tiny little seed can be planted in the ground. And we have these modern, enlightened, scientific minds that become so presumptuous about such miracles or mysteries. But that seed can be planted in the ground, and all of its own making, all of its own accord, of course it just needs a bit of sun and a bit of watering, but it doesn't need us to do that, of its own accord, that seed will germinate, sprout up, and produce, as Jesus said, 30, 60, 100-fold. And the seeds from that harvest can be gathered and replanted and produce more and more and more. It's incredible. If we just have the heart to be honest with ourselves and say, Lord, rather than just talk it through scientifically, which is interesting, I'm not denying that, but rather than just write it off scientifically, but to think on the mystery that is in every single one of those seeds. Incredible stuff. And Jesus says the kingdom of God is much like those seeds. Because he's just said prior to that, we'll go out and we will sow and scatter the seed, and it's not all going to fall in good places. I can testify to that in my own garden and in our own veg patch. Sadly, they don't all produce fruit. They don't all burst forth. Or some do, as Jesus said. Then they get choked up by weeds or thorns and all the rest of it. But we'll scatter the seed and some of it will burst forth. And we're praying, as we did, that that will happen in the Alpha course. As it's happened for some of you on Alpha courses or some of us at beach missions or wherever it was, some of that seed falls on good soil, hearts that are prepared, which means to be humble and receptive and gentle and obedient to the teaching of Jesus. And when it falls on such hearts, and it does, it bursts forth. And then they go on to tell others and produce fruit of their own. But taking that analogy a bit further, because when he talks about the seed that grows in verses 26 down to verse 29, he's not specifying that it's the sharing of the gospel. That's one application. But he says, no, the kingdom of God is like a seed. Not preaching the gospel is like a seed. It is. And Jesus often uses the same terminology to share different parables. But in this instance, he says the kingdom of God. So it has a wider application to our lives as followers of Jesus. So I want to say tonight, picking up on our church statement when it comes to giving, that when it comes to the kingdom of God, we give of our time, we could say, and our talent, the gifts that God has given us, our natural abilities, some might say, our time, our talent, and our treasure. And all those things, when we sow them into the kingdom, then it's like a seed being sown. And there's a mystery to it that goes beyond us, because God is God and we're not. But he causes those seeds of the time that we invest in his kingdom to multiply and grow. He causes those seeds of our talents that he's giving us that we invest into his kingdom to multiply and grow, and also our treasure, which is often the bit that we forget to invest in the kingdom, or some people may forget to invest in the kingdom. But Jesus says that we've only got a set period in which to do all this, because as soon as it's ripe, whenever that is, the farmer comes with the sickle and harvests the grain. He's picking up on Joel chapter 3. And if you read it for yourself, Joel chapter 3 is talking about the nations, all hearing the good news, all hearing about Jesus, though it doesn't reference Jesus, to be fair, but all hearing about the kingdom of God. And there comes a point when God himself says, okay, now as much fruit is, that's going to be born has come forth, has come to fruition, now is the time that I'm going to come in judgment, he says, incredibly. And Jesus is picking up on what Joel prophesied and saying, get on with the job, because there is a consummation that's coming with this kingdom of God. There's a time limit to it. And then, if you look a little further on, verse 30, he then talks about the miraculous seed, which is a mustard seed in this instance. And I did remember these ones. And I'd been to Tesco and bought some mustard seeds. And I want you to do something very quickly. Around about your chair is one of these seeds. I'd like you to have a look and try and find it. You probably know the point to the mustard seed parable is that a mustard seed is tiny. Okay, I'll give you a clue. It is under your chair, not on your chair, and it's not in the back of your chair. It is somewhere underneath your chair. Good man. Archie's found one. Stick your hand in the air if you find one around and about. They're little things, and I'm told that there are even smaller versions, which are about the size of just a bit bigger than a poppy seed. So I've been kind. I didn't go for the poppy seed size. I went for the slightly bigger yellower ones that you can see. There really are poppy seeds under every chair. It would have been fun just to have told you and not actually put one there, but no, we did put them there. You got one, okay. Whatever you do, don't eat it. Don't put it in your mouth, you'll regret it. You would think, okay, if you haven't found it, don't worry, You can have a look afterwards. There'll definitely be one under your chair, and if you haven't found it under yours, you can look under the other chair around and about you later. Or I can just give you one, make life easy for you all. But they are tiny. They are tiny. The description on here is that they are hot, mustard seeds, hot and earthy, which is what Sam Downton said about Martin the other day when we were chatting. Every day, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, don't eat them. Will once did an illustration with some flower seeds. No, not flower seeds, flower bulbs, thank you. And it was here, and an old lady who we all know and love, Myra, Myra, not Mira. Myra took her daffodil bulb or whatever it was and thought it was a shallot or something. What did you think it was? A nut? Oh, boy. She threw it in her mouth. Munched down on it. And did she eat it? I can't remember. She ate the whole thing. Yeah. Yeah. Needless to say, she's now in heaven. So don't eat the mustard seed, please.
I'm sure it's not related.
Yeah, well, let's hope the two weren't related. But yeah, bless her. We loved her a lot and still do. And she's gone to be with the Lord. But she was an expansion of the kingdom here. She really was. And she was one of those miraculous seeds of the kingdom that burst forth and bore fruit in her life. And the miracle of the mustard seed is that from that tiny little thing that you're holding, essentially a fairly sizable tree grows. A bush, maybe, would be... I think they would say mustard tree. Anyway, it's a sizable thing, and Jesus says the birds of the air will come and perch in it, and that's true, they do. Here's the miracle to that. In the natural, the miracle's obvious. In the spiritual, think of it like this. The kingdom of God came near with Jesus. That's what Jesus himself said. He said to people, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe. It's time to act. It's time to respond. And when the kingdom of God came near, when Jesus was talking, it was him. He was talking about himself. He was there, and so the kingdom of God had come near in the form of just one person. Now, there's no just about Jesus, I appreciate that, but it was one person, himself, that he was talking about. From him, he then called to himself, and that's in chapter 3 of Mark. We've skipped that over, actually, so read it for yourself, whatever. But from him, he called 12, we say apostles, but that's not a helpful word to us, really. We don't use that word very much. Ambassadors, or students, he called to himself, as his disciples, his students. So from one, he calls 12. And let's be honest, they were fairly unimpressive guys, being frank about it. They made so many mistakes, it's ridiculous. But so do you and I, don't we? But from those unimpressive students, one of whom betrayed him, the rest deserted him, at least for a period of time. From those 11 who remained, that kingdom seed grew and today is in the, well, let's be conservative and say the hundreds of millions. The figures are beyond that, but I think they're actually inflated figures. I think if we're real about who is born again, then we're probably looking at hundreds of millions. Even that is impressive enough, because that's just a snapshot throughout 2,000 years of history as well. So add to that the past 2,000 or so years of the kingdom expansion, and you start to get an idea of what has happened as a result of the ministry of one man who at the same time was and is God. And you and I are now part of that increase, that extension of the kingdom of God. And it's a miracle that's taken place, and let's never forget it, that what God has done in your life and mine, and is doing in your life and mine, and is going to do in your life and mine, is nothing short of a miracle. And for that, we should be eternally grateful. We should be nothing short of blown away by what he has done and what he is doing and what he's going to do in us. Let's bow our heads and pray together. Father, sometimes, if we're honest, we have to confess to you, we do take this kind of thing for granted. We are so accustomed to your kingdom and your kingdom ways that it becomes the norm. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. Your kingdom ways are to be the norm in our lives. But Lord, we sometimes are then guilty of taking those things for granted. And so we confess that to you tonight. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness, and we ask that you would help us to be impressed anew. As Justin was praying this morning, that there would be fresh revelation that comes to each and every one of us, Lord, about how great and glorious your kingdom is. And Lord, we haven't seen the end of it yet. We don't believe that your kingdom is here in its entirety. We believe that there's the millennium to come, Lord, and following the millennium, then that following those 1,000 years, then that consummation, when you will judge all the nations and your kingdom will be experienced by us in its entirety. And Lord, having tasted a little of it, having seen a snapshot of it, Lord, we can hardly wait. We say in the words of Scripture, come Lord. Come Lord Jesus. We are looking forward to your coming because we long to see your kingdom in its fullness and in its entirety. But for the bit that we are experiencing now, Lord, we are grateful to you. And we pray that it will increase, it will grow, there will be an extension and an expansion among us this year. And Lord, we pray that that would even begin tomorrow with Alpha, and that we would see a further element of that on Thursday night as we gather together, Lord, for that encounter night with you. Lord, you're doing great things, and we are thankful for that, and we are looking forward with eager anticipation to the more that's in store. Lord, we thank you that you've saved us, that you have added us to your kingdom. It was a miracle, nothing short of that. We didn't do anything about it for ourselves, Lord. Your Spirit gave us the desire to respond, and you poured out your grace upon us and poured in your grace in our lives. And so, Lord, we pray that we would be good ambassadors for you this week, messengers, emissaries, disciples, learners, students of you this week, that we would be studious students who don't take your work in our lives for granted, but desire to see you doing even greater things through us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, I say let it begin tomorrow with Alpha, but it can begin right now with our time of ministry.